And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, it's great to be with you. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday. That's the last time that we talked to you. Wasn't it interesting how Thanksgiving and Hanukkah, the first time that that's happened in a long time, it won't happen again for another long period of time, but how neat it was that that all came together this last year, and this was the year where Hanukkah and Thanksgiving fell together on the same date. But I hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday, and now as we get ready for Christmas coming up, I trust that everything is going just fine in your families and that you're getting ready for the holidays. It's an exciting time. And my prayers are to you that maybe things aren't going the way that you would like for them to go during this holiday period of time. And our ministry, I mean, my dad and myself, my brother, all of us at Prophecy Today, I know that we are very grateful. Again, I've always said this, and I'll say it again, we're very thankful for every part that everyone plays in supporting our ministry and being a part of our ministry. And we take very serious all the questions and answers that come in, all the comments that come into Prophecy Today. Sometimes it takes us a little bit of time to get back because we're all traveling on the road and speaking and being very active in teaching in our teaching ministry that we have, whether it be here in the United States or elsewhere. And I'm going to read you a little something from Dad that he put together. If you didn't get it, maybe if you were on our mailing list, you would get this email. But if you didn't, let me just give you an update about Prophecy Today. But again, I just want to say that we pray often for those people that our ministries touch, whether it be through our Prophecy Today radio network, our videos, our website, our television programs that we do with different organizations, Day of Discovery Television, John Ankerberg. As a matter of fact, Dad right now is working on a new program that he's doing with John Ankerberg. It'll be coming out as soon as they get done with the production, and then post-production takes place. And those will be a brand new series on Iran and Turkey, Syria, countries in the Middle East, and how they play a part in Bible prophecy and what their role will be in the end times. So keep him in prayer and Dr. John Ankerberg as they do that. But we're really thankful for the opportunity to be a part of different ministries and to come alongside them and work and teach and do what God, be faithful to what God has called us to do. And we will be praying for each one of you. A lot of times we know names and people send in prayer requests for us to pray for them. We do that. But there are also people out there that we don't know their names. We know that a lot of people visit our website and listen to Prophecy Q&A, listen to the weekend programs that we do. They download the podcast and all of that stuff. So we pray for you and pray for the families that are out there and pray for the body of Christ and those that are in need during this Christmas time. Let me just read you this from Dad. He said this is his end of the year update on our ministry. It's hard to believe. We just had another Thanksgiving and Christmas is right around the corner. Time sure does fly. The year of 2013 is drawing to a close, and what a year it has been. Through God's grace and the generosity of the saints, we have been able to share the blessed hope of Bible prophecy around the world this year. Nothing we do in ministry or in life is possible without the provision and empowering of God, and all glory goes to Him, without whom we can do nothing. In His infinite wisdom, God has chosen to provide through the giving of His people. This was true in the time of the first missionary journeys of Paul. It was true when they built the first temple in Jerusalem, and it is true today. While operating out of the United States and Israel, Prophecy Today has been able to make an impact in many countries across the globe. In the country of Montenegro, three of my children, Jimmy Jr., Rick, and Jody, were able to share the prophetic truths of God's holy word with young people. Rick directed a sports camp while Jimmy taught the Bible and shared the gospel with the campers. In Romania, Jimmy Jr. was able to teach Bible prophecy to dozens of Christians, leaders, and pastors in Canada, I was blessed to be able to study eschatology with the good people at Word of Life Canada. In Hungary, Jimmy Jr. was able to open the scriptures with a focus on God's revealed plan for the future. He taught Daniel and Ezekiel over a two-week period of time, students from eight different countries. These Bible Institute students are planning to be pastors, teachers, or missionaries. Of course, this is in addition to our ministry through media, radio, internet, and television. We are blessed to be able to offer our radio programs free of charge to radio stations throughout the country and online. We have multiple formats, from 1 minute to 90 minutes in length. Some are daily and some are weekly. All of them cover current events in the light of God's prophetic word. We would not be able to do any of this without God's provision through his generous children, and we want to thank those of you who have come alongside of us this past year. We know that your gifts will be remembered in heaven, and you will not lose your reward. And again, let me remind you, this is a note from Dad. He says, as 2013 comes to a close, should the Lord tarry, we look forward to even more opportunities to continue to spread the good news of Bible prophecy. In addition to being asked to return to Hungary, Montenegro, and Romania, where they are planning to spread the impact to multiple cities throughout the country, Jimmy Jr. will, Lord willing, be going to Canada in January to start his international outreach for the year. And I am in the planning stages of going to Paraguay to teach God's scenario for the end times. It is our prayer that we be able to continue to grow and expand our international outreach in the years ahead, and we would be honored to have you come alongside us and partner with us in the ministry. As Paul said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Philippians 4:17. Of course, we know through the study of God's word that the rapture of the church could happen at any moment. But should he continue to extend his grace to those who have not yet responded to his offer of salvation, we must be busy about sharing his word. If you would like to be a part of this outreach, the first thing you can do is pray. We need God's wisdom, guidance, and empowering to carry out his will. If you'd like to partner with us financially, please visit prophecytoday.com/partners to donate through PayPal, or if you prefer to send a check, please make it out to Life Impact for Eternity and put Prophecy Today Ministry in the memo line. Thank you so much for partnering with us. And Dad's last final note, thank you for your prayers and your time. May God bless you in this Christmas season and keep looking up until Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. So hopefully that will help you in your understanding of our ministry and what it has been in this last year. I think as we have taken a look over our schedule, Dad has spoken some 700 plus times in the year 2013. He's been on the road 50 weekends out of the year, and we just are being faithful to what God has called us to do. And that's a little year end of the year wrap up note from Dad. And thank you for partnering with us. At least pray for us in our ministry, and that would be such a big help. Now let's get to some of those questions on Prophecy Q&A. Gary sends in a note. He says, I recently purchased your video, Revelation Walkthrough, and it's a great video. It's Dad's walkthrough shot on location in Israel. He actually does a walkthrough on the Mount of Olives. It's a great time. He and I both did this together and worked on it, and got to teach in some great locations around Israel, going to and really using the backdrop of Israel as our platform for teaching. But what a great place to go to teach through the book of Revelation. That's our video walkthrough, Revelation walkthrough. Says, I plan to use the video in my two Bible study classes that I currently lead. And that's also a great thing that we encourage everyone to do. You know, a lot of people want to teach Bible prophecy. They're not really, they don't feel capable sometimes. And we provide helps through our videos. Most of the videos are broken up into series. We have workbooks with our videos that you can use. And you can use these in your classes. He says, in the video, you mentioned that 4 million Jews will be saved when Jesus returns. Where in the scripture does it mention this number? Thank you. Well, Gary, it doesn't mention that number. We've kind of used some addition and subtraction to come up with that number, but that the reference to that is in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire." So that's where we get two-thirds of Israel, of all the Jews, are going to be wiped out. That will leave one-third that flee into the wilderness. When does this happen? Well, as you understand Bible prophecy, you look at the timeline. The next thing to happen on God's timeline is the rapture of the church. The tribulation, that's Revelation chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 51 and 52. But as you look at, so the rapture starts, takes place, and then the period of the tribulation starts. It's that 7-year period of time talked about in Daniel chapter 9. And we know that that starts when the Antichrist confirms a peace agreement with Israel. That's what it talks about in Daniel chapter 9, Revelation chapter 6. The first seal that is opened is a man on a white horse. He comes in peace. That's the Antichrist coming to bring a false peace to the nation of Israel. He confirms a peace agreement with the nation of Israel. For the first 3.5 years of this period, he is their, he acts as their Messiah. He is protecting them. We get an indication of that in Daniel chapter 11 and his role. He takes credit for the destruction of the battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Although we know that it's God that protects Israel, Antichrist will take credit for that. And so the first 3.5 years, he confirms this peace agreement. This is when the temple is rebuilt in the city of Jerusalem, because at the midway point of the tribulation, he is going to go in and desecrate that temple that stands in the city of Jerusalem. Again, from Daniel chapter 9, we get an indication of when that will take place. And Revelation chapter 13, I believe it is. But at the midway point, when he comes and he leaves his headquarters in the city of Rome, where he will be headquartered and established a false church. That's Revelation chapter 17. He then goes, at the midway point of the tribulation, he goes to the city of Jerusalem, walks into the temple, desecrates it, sets up the abomination of desolation in that temple, proclaims himself to be God along with the false prophet. And from there, he turns his wrath against the Jewish people. And it's at that point in time when he turns against them and he's going to wipe them out. That's where two-thirds of the Jews will be wiped out and a third will flee to the wilderness. And that's where we get this. So you take a total number of Jews in the world today, that is about 12 million Jews. And if you do the math, if two-thirds are wiped out, that leaves one-third left, which would be 4 million Jews. So, Gary, hopefully that's where we that will help you. That's where we get that indication, Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. By the way, the Jews at the midway point flee into the wilderness, where they will be protected. We believe that that's the city of Petra in modern-day Jordan that they will go to. They will be protected from the Antichrist. And then it's when Jesus returns back to the earth at the end of that 7-year period of time, he goes, he'll touch down on the Mount of Olives. He builds a temple in the city of Jerusalem, goes and fights the Battle of Armageddon in the Jezreel Valley. And from there, he goes and collects the Jews that are gone into the wilderness and brings them back into the city of Jerusalem, thus fulfilling the remaining feast, the fall feast. And as he enters back into Jerusalem, into the Holy of Holies, and consecrates the temple and reestablishes the kingdom practices for the millennial kingdom. Thank you, Gary, for sending in your question. Again, thank you so much for doing all that you do and for taking our material. That's why we have it. We are so appreciative of the fact that that does help in the process of teaching Bible prophecy. Pastor Bob sends in a question. He says, and this is Pastor Bob Griffin. He's a retired pastor. Pastor, thank you so many years for your years of service to the body of Christ. Dear Dr. DeYoung, I really appreciate your up-to-date news concerning the Middle East. And if you don't get a chance, I would encourage each and every one of you to listen to the weekend radio program that Dad does. And I'm on quite often, but we bring in people that know what's happening around the world and gives you a great update as to really what's happening in those areas of the world from a biblical perspective. I would like to know who the father of the Arabs are and who the father of the Palestinians is. Are the Palestinians actually Arabs? Thank you, and may God bless you and continue to use you. Well, Pastor Bob, thank you. Let me say that, you know, we've got a great DVD that I produced with Dad called Esau and the Palestinians. And that'll give you an actual hint as to who the father of the Palestinians are today. The Palestinians of today are direct descendants of Esau, and we trace that lineage all the way back. And you ask who the father of the Arab people are. Well, if you go to Wikipedia and you can look online on this kind of stuff, it'll give you an indication of who people are and what they are. But the word Arab has several different but overlapping meanings over the centuries and sometimes even today. In addition to including all ethnically Arab and Arabized people of the world, with which is language tending to be the real test as to who the Arab people are. They speak the Arabic language. It has also at times been used exclusively for Bedouin people, nomads, Arab nomads that traveled through the desert. Although a related word, Arab, with the Arabic letter Aleph in the second syllable once was sometimes used when this specific meaning was intended, and they are now almost entirely settled descendants. So this title, Arab, was given to the Bedouin people, nomadic people that traveled the land. So let's go back to where nations and people were divided. And that's Genesis chapter 10. And so we get an indication there, the descendants of Noah in Genesis chapter 10, their sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, as they began to repopulate the earth. That's where all tribes came from at that point in time, Genesis chapter 10, which is a book of genealogies. And if you look with me over to Genesis chapter 10, very interesting, there are names that are mentioned there that will come into play later on in Bible prophecy and future history. Now, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the sons were born to them after the flood. And then you get a genealogy from these sons, and these are when the Gentile nations are divided up. From these, the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their land, everyone according to his own language, according to their families, into their nation. So this is the division of tribes and nations coming to be in Genesis chapter 10. And we get an indication. We know where these people that are mentioned there, the sons of Japheth, were Gomer, Magog, Tubal, Meshach, Tagarma. Very interesting land people that went to those nations, and we know where they went to. As a matter of fact, those particular sons of Japheth went to modern-day Turkey. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put is modern-day Libya, Cush, Ethiopia, Sudan. And so, you get an idea of where these nations went and where they became, and to most of them were in Central Asia, North Africa and those continents there, and that's where they divided up into. And so this was a name, the Arab name was given to these people because of they spoke the land that they went to and the language that they spoke and their families that were a part of them. Further on, you see Ishmael, who was the son of Abraham, and through Hagar, who was an Egyptian handmaiden. So we see that all these nations were divided up and they were given names, and Arab was a technical term that was given to these countries, these people, these tribes, because of the language that they spoke, because they were Bedouins. The Palestinians of today, they are Arabs, and they are descendants of Esau. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 25. We understand the story between the twin brothers, Jacob and Esau. And, of course, you know that story. Esau was sent to the Mount Seir region of what is modern-day Jordan. And there Esau became Edom. And then through history, Edom was cast out of that area of Mount Seir, the Mount Hor region, or what is modern-day Petra. That's where the Edomites were. They went from there to the Negev. But we could trace their lineage all the way through from Esau to the Amalekites to King Agag, all the way through to the Book of Esther. Haman was an Agagite, and Herod actually was an Edomite, descendants of the, he called himself an Idumean, and all the way through to the Palestinians of today. Pastor Bob, if you want, get that DVD. It'll really give you an in-depth. It'll take you on location to the different parts of the Mideast where we will look at and trace the lineage of the Palestinians today, which incidentally goes back to Esau. There is a prophecy concerning the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, the little book of Obadiah, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 35, gives you an indication of what's going to happen to the Edomites. So it's a good study to take to go through, and I encourage you to get that DVD, and you'll have that study for yourself that you can go much more in depth as to who the descendants of Esau are, the Palestinians of today. Thank you, Pastor Bob, for sending in your question. Andrew Thompson has a question. He says, hi, I had a question regarding this video and the end times. And he sent a link to a video. He says, I also really think Jimmy would be interested in this video. My question is, do you guys see this video with Walter Cronkite and Hillary Clinton as the real end time government plans of Satan, or do you think it's a plan with which will never actually materialize? The thing that shocked me is how much of their plans are already in full motion and how directly and vocally they are against Jesus and Christians. Also, it's amazing how much they line up with prophecy. It feels like you are watching the Left Behind movies when you are watching it, except it's real. Well, Andrew, yes, it's very real. Satan has a master plan. His master plan is to destroy God, to destroy the angels, any of God's creation, and to destroy man. And this plan was instituted in the Garden of Eden when the fall of man took place. And, of course, the first prophecy in the scriptures was given to the Messiah that would come to destroy Satan, Genesis 3:15. So throughout history, Satan's master plan is to destroy God. Although Satan is very powerful, never to be taken lightly, he has a full understanding of the scriptures and understanding of the Bible. He has access. He's the prince of the power of the air, of the earth. So, Andrew, I believe that through this, understanding all of that, we know that Satan's master plan is to persuade men, especially people that are anti-Jesus, anti-Christians. This is how Satan uses human world leaders to accomplish his master plan. That's why we keep our eyes on what's happening around the world and what's taking place. We can understand that Satan is working, and that what God's word from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is absolutely true and correct. That's why a third of God's word, that is Bible prophecy, is so very important to us so that we understand the times in which we're living. Daniel did that. Daniel, reading the scriptures, knew how long they were going to be, the Jewish people that had been taken captive, being disciplined by God, taken captive out of the city of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. They were to be taken out of the land. Daniel, reading the prophet Jeremiah, understood how many years they were going to be out of the land and how long they would be there and when the Jews would be allowed to return. Came true, exactly, and he understood that. That's, as Christians, we can read God's word. Now, we're starting to see, and I think we're starting to see, and that's what people are seeing now, we're starting to see major players that are coming to the surface to accomplish Satan's plan. Again, I think this is all evidence of the fact, and these players will change from time to time. Just like we have a question today about, the Antichrist and who is the Antichrist and is he on the scene? And we have a theory. We have a person that fits a perfect prototype for the Antichrist. Now, does that person know who he is? No, it's not like he's, we've seen these movies, the Damien or Omen or whatever it is, 666, those old movies that this child was born with the seed of Satan and he's the one that grows up to be the Antichrist. No, Satan has no idea when the rapture of the church is going to take place. He has to have people ready to fulfill his plan, a person ready to be the Antichrist, a person ready to be the false prophet. He has to have those people in place and ready to implement that plan as soon as the rapture takes place. According to Daniel chapter 9, and there's a period of time after the rapture takes place in order for this Antichrist to come on the scene and bring order into a chaotic world, the earth, as Christians have left this earth. And one of the first things that he does is confirm a peace agreement with Israel. Well, this has to be somebody that is actually on the scene and involved in this political peace process already. It's not going to be somebody that's manufactured out of thin air and come onto the scene and all of a sudden. It's going to be somebody that is fulfilling that role and know that person doesn't know that they are fulfilling the plan of Satan and going to be the Antichrist. But Satan will energize this person that is the Antichrist and the false prophet. And they will accomplish his plan for the end times. And he uses many people that are anti-Christ. I mean, people, that's what the book of 1 John talks about, the anti-Christ of this world, people that are anti-God, anti-Jesus Christ, anti-Christians. And they're, I think that we see that we are living in a world that is getting increasingly worse. It's not going to get better. A lot of people that think, because of their understanding of eschatology, that we're living in the kingdom, that we're living in that millennial kingdom now, that thousand-year period of time that's talked about, that the earth is getting better. It's not getting better. Matthew talked about the paleogenesia, the regeneration of the earth. That's not happening right now. The earth is deteriorating faster and faster, and evil is overcoming the good, really, on the earth. If you watch our news, it just makes you so glad that you're not a permanent citizen of the earth, that we are a citizen. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, our citizenship is in heaven. So understanding that, we understand, and that's why we watch the things that are going on in the earth, because unknowingly, each of these people, and there are many of them out there, world leaders, that are accomplishing Satan's goals of trying to destroy man and to set up this kingdom that is to come, which would be the revived Roman Empire talked about in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7. So each one of these people are fulfilling these roles that are going to bring about this revived Roman Empire that Daniel also received the vision of, and that Nebuchadnezzar did, of the kingdom that is not made from man's hands. It's from God that will come and destroy all of that and put an end to the times of the Gentiles. And that will take place, and that's when Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom, the 1,000-year period of time, the millennial kingdom here on the earth, where he will rule and reign in the city of Jerusalem. Thank you, Andrew, for sending in that video and for keeping an eye on Bible prophecy for us and for understanding what's happening around the world and for recognizing that there are many things that are happening. But always use God's word. Use God's word as you, that's the final authority, that really is the best. There are a lot of extracurricular books out there, extra biblical books, extra biblical writings, not extra biblical books, extra biblical writings that are out there of people that try to add to. Just read what the scriptures say. There are a lot of help books out there. I would suggest a good one for people. And people always ask us, what's a good book for understanding to decipher? The Bible Knowledge Commentaries by Dr. Walvoord and Roy Zook is a great book. Charlie Dyer also helped in putting that together. All great professors and theologians from Dallas Theological Seminary. It's a great book for understanding all of God's Word. Dr. Walvoord has written a book on the book of Revelation and a book on the book of Daniel. He's also compiled all the prophecies in the Word of God. And those are all great books to get. And just Google, look on Amazon, go to your local bookstore, look for Dr. Walvoord, and you will find all the books that he has written that will help you and assist you. But really the best book is to read God's Word and use inductive Bible study to interpret apocalyptic literature, which would be Daniel, Ezekiel, Revelation, Zechariah, and that will help you in understanding. First Peter. Peter says, hey, we have a more sure word of Bible prophecy. That's God's word. Karen G. sends in a question. She says, my pastor says there are no more priests from the family of Aaron to make sacrifices in a second rebuilt temple. Can you please explain? Well, Karen, your pastor's right. There are none that they can find the descendants of. There are men that are studying to do the priestly duties. We have been in contact with the man that is responsible for teaching the men to do the priestly duties. That's Nachman Kahana. In fact, he's been fitted with the garment, the first garment for the high priest. And that's on our video. Sometimes I might sound like this big advertising deal, but we have put this together and don't take our words. You could take the words of it from Rabbi Nachman Kahana, on our video, Ready to Rebuild, Revisited. The first video that we did on the rebuilding of the next temple, it will be the third temple that stands. And, this third temple that comes into being, that the Jews are preparing to rebuild now, it really has no holy significance. The real purpose for this is for the Antichrist to go in and desecrate this temple. So this temple has no holy significance. The next temple that has a holy significance will be Ezekiel's temple, that's mentioned in chapters 42 to 48 of Ezekiel. You can see that the dimensions of that. That's the temple that Jesus Christ built, and he will. The part of the responsibilities of the priest in that temple will be to do the sacrifices again. And I believe, the book of Revelation tells us that 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel will be witnesses in the tribulation period. That's 144,000 male virgin Jews from the 12 different tribes. So those men will know what tribe they're from. Today, most men, unless there's some, historical records that go back, most people don't know the tribe that they belong to. Now, some people will tell you they do, and I'm not sure how they can know for sure what tribe they belong to. But For instance, the rabbi told us that no, we don't know who the descendants of Aaron are. You can know by a person's last name, like his name was Kahana. Kohanim, the Kohanim were the priest. So anybody that has a last name of Cohen, Kahana, any order of that sense, their families perhaps were a part of the priest. And they will tell you that they were part of a priestly family. So, yes, although no one knows who really is definitely a part of the priestly family, and that's what the rabbi tells us. He says, hey, we don't know who the descendants of the priest are. But if you want to be a priest, you come to Israel, and you want to go through the practices of studying to be a priest, you can be a priest. But that temple that your pastor is talking about doesn't have any holy significance, so these men don't have to be priestly descendants. Because that temple is really there to show us that, you know, this plan, and I just got done talking about that, just as there are world leaders, there are other things that are talked about in Bible prophecy. For instance, this temple that will be standing in Jerusalem, there hasn't been a temple there since 1970 AD. Since 70 AD, there hasn't been a temple in the city of Jerusalem that was destroyed by General Titus in the 10th Roman Legion. Exactly as prophesied, and that Jesus prophesied that temple would be destroyed. 70 AD, the temple was destroyed, and there hasn't been a temple there for the last 2,000 years, a little less than 2,000 years. So in this process, they're preparing to rebuild that temple. And by understanding that the Jews today are going through this process of rebuilding the temple, and they're getting closer and closer to that happening. Of course, there are many things that have to happen. That Dome of the Rock has to be gone. The Muslims who control the Temple Mount would have to be willing, or somehow allow the Jews to come up there and build that. Either they have to be taken out, or they have to have someone that brokers an agreement with them, such as the Antichrist, to allow them to build this temple. I think that temple, should they start to build it today, it wouldn't take them very long that it would be up and running, and the sacrifices would be started by priests. They have to be done by priests, men who have studied the priestly duties. But your pastor is right in the sense that they don't know who are direct descendants of Aaron. And so anybody can come and study to do the priestly duties. But this temple is not going to have any other significance, holy significance, except for the fact that this is a temple that the Antichrist will go into, as talked about in Daniel chapter 9, Matthew chapter 24. An indication is that the Antichrist will go in and set up the abomination of desolation and desecrate the temple. And that it just is one of those things that is kind of the things that are happening around the world that show us how much closer that we are getting every single moment to Bible prophecy being fulfilled. And that starts with the rapture of the church. We do know that in the millennial kingdom that priests will be doing the duties of the priestly duties again. And we do know that the men in those 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144,000, will know what tribe that they belong to. So when the millennial kingdom comes about and Jesus is the high priest ruling and reigning from the Holy of Holies and on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem, he'll know who the priests are, and those men will know their responsibilities. Thank you, Karen, for sending that in. It's a good question, and thank you and for studying and just clarifying a statement that your pastor made, and hopefully we helped you. Folks, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to try to get to you again next week. And, you know, one of the things that we've talked about and that you might want to pray with us about, we enjoy doing Prophecy Q&A. Hopefully this helps you. We thank you that so many of you send in questions to us to be answered or to come up with an answer, that whether you agree or disagree with us, you appreciate the fact, you appreciate us enough that you will send in these questions to us to answer. And we're going to try to possibly to put more of these Q&A programs more than just one time a week, because there are so many that are coming in. So be in prayer with us on that. Thank you for sending in your questions. Keep studying God's Word. Everything that we see today indicates that the rapture of the church cannot be far away. So let's keep looking up until...